Chapter number 4, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We're preaching this little series of sermons from Proverbs. We're calling it Life Hacks for Life, things to make your life go a little bit smoother as you go along. And the internet has made these things pretty popular. You can go on YouTube and see life hacks galore, all kinds of things. I don't know if they all work, but they all look pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Sometimes if you could remember them all, you wouldn't mind giving them a try either. And so we're talking about this idea of life hacks, things that make your life easier. And this afternoon, this is very helpful. It's just read and study the Bible. What a life hack. Read and study the Bible. Now, you can get along in life without the Bible. You can get along in the Christian church without the Bible. You can become an officer in a church, a pastor of a church, any kind of leader in a church without spending much personal time in the Scriptures. But the Scriptures are a very important part of our lives. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's pray together, and we'll look at this for a second. Father, I ask you to give me your help this afternoon as we try to make plain these very simple truths. I pray that you lodge them deep in our heart in a way that they've never been there before. We ask these things in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. Listen to this quote by Charles Bridges on verses 20 and 22. He says, a neglected Bible is the sad proof of a heart alienated from God. A neglected Bible is the sad proof of a heart that is alienated from God. If we do not spend time in the Word of God, reading it ourselves, not just reading it, but studying it for ourselves, it is an evidence that we have drifted away from God. What's the first thing somebody does when they get saved or get right with God and get back into church? What's one of the first things they want to do? Well, usually they say they want to get a Bible if they don't have one. And they want to know, I've had lots of people come to me over the years and say, where should I start reading my Bible at? Where's the best place to start? And you could say, start at Genesis or start it with the Psalms, the Proverbs, the Gospel of Mark's a good place. People, initially, they're very excited about the Bible and they want to get into it. But the further and further away from God a person drifts, the less time they spend in God's Word. The less time they spend in God's Word. And so a neglected Bible is the proof that your heart is alienated from God. So I say to you this afternoon, if you're here and you're not reading your Bible, why? Why? You say, well, I'm too busy. I don't know if that's true or not. Not in this modern era. Why? Why aren't you spending time with God's Word? And if you're not spending time with God's Word, it's because you have drifted away from Him. Me and Valerie, how long have we been married now, dear? 19 years this year? Almost 19 years. January coming up will be 19 years. And you know what? The reason why we don't talk when we don't talk is because we drift apart. Something comes up between us, we drift away from each other. But when we are talking, when we are communicating with one another, spending time with each other, that's because we've drawn nigh to one another. And in your life, you drift away from God. Satan will never rest until he drives a wedge between you and your Bible. He will not rest because he cannot steal your salvation. He cannot steal your soul, but he can steal the joy of your salvation. He can steal away and rob you of your potential for the Lord. He'll drive you away from that book. And so I want you to notice only three things now. Only three. Number one, over and over, we are called to heed the word. We're called to hear it, to listen to it, to tune our ears, to bow down the ear to the word of God. Look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Pay attention. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. We should incline our ear. We should give our attention to God's word because his word is good. Are you tired of hearing bad news? Hearing bad things? Ever since I thought when the elections were over that everything would calm down on the news. That was silly, wasn't it? Every day it's something worse. I started following KSWO on Facebook last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. And I didn't know Lawton was such a wild town. I don't watch the news. I read the paper. The paper doesn't cover everything. But every hour of every day, they're releasing some new tragedies taking place here in Lawton. And you get tired of hearing all the bad news. God's word is good. It's full of good news. It's full of pleasant things. It is good for you. It is very good for you. The second reason you should attend to God's word, to heed it, is because this word of God is a light to our path. Now, brothers and sisters, we live in a dark world. A dark world. Now, I guess we could do this, but it would lose something probably. Have you ever been in this auditorium when the lights are off? Miss Betty, is that how you really broke your hip, Miss Debbie? Were you up here playing tag in the dark? When the lights are off in here, it's dark. And I don't know how many times I've come through this door and stopped right there and thought, as I look toward that door, should I risk it or not? And I know the lay of the land in here. But you know what I do? I get my phone. I flip it on. And I find my... I don't need much light. Because once I get my bearing on this aisle right here, it's just a straight shot. But I need a little light. And as you live in this dark world, you need a little light from God's word. A little light on your path. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalms 119, verse 160, it says that the entrance of thy words bringeth light into our life. You say, well, I don't need any more light in my life. Well, I was talking to an electrician here at the church. And we're talking about putting lights and stuff in here. And he said, I'm afraid you could get too many lights in this auditorium. And I said, how could you have too much light? You know what I mean? I like light, don't you? It's like a bright place. If you go over to Trinity Baptist over here, their auditorium is kind of brown walls, brown carpet, brown pews with those recessed lights, what are they called? Can lights everywhere. It's kind of dark in there. It's kind of sleepy. Of course, they must have an exciting preacher because we couldn't have that kind of atmosphere here because people would go to sleep left and right. But you like light. You like a bright, illuminated place. And you need God's word. You need it. Number two. We need to beware of the possibility of becoming superficial with God's word. Superficial with God's word, where it's just an external rite or a religious act that we have. I'm sure everybody here in this church house has a Bible. I'm sure you all have basic knowledge of the scriptures. But we need to beware of becoming superficial. Superficiality with God's word is like the difference between a scratch and a puncture. A scratch and a puncture. Have you ever been scratched? Been out there working in the shop or working in the yard and get a scratch. But then have you ever had a puncture? In Arkansas one time, Lauren, where did that board with the nails, with the nail in it, come from? Do you remember? It was from the treehouse. Lauren stepped on a nail right through her foot, all the way through. It didn't poke out the top. But it missed all the vital stuff in there, all the bone, all the tendons, but just, man, it was. We took her to take it to the doctor, you know, and get a shot, have it looked at. But that was a puncture versus a scratch. You can be scratched by a nail, but having a nail puncture you is something very different. And you can be superficial with God's word, and you can just let it scratch you on the outside. But notice what he says here in our text. Look at verse number 21. Let these words, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Bring these words inside of you. Bring them in. Hide them in your heart. Put them deep within your heart. Now, when we use the word heart, we're not talking about the heart. It's a metaphor for the mind. Put them into your mind. Into your mind. I listen to music on my phone, you know, and the words, they go into my mind. And after a while, you memorize the words. Have you noticed how some songs, you memorize the words and don't even realize it? How many of you, when you come to church, you're singing along with familiar hymns and you don't even realize that you're doing it? It's just rote. It's just memorized to you. And God's word, we should try to get them that familiar that they're burned into our hearts. Now, to do that, to bring these words into our heart, will require keeping the mind clear. Keeping the mind clear. You have to lay aside the other sounds of life so you can listen to the words of God. Now, as a person who's in this, a member of this digital age, the most dangerous thing that we can do when we get up in the morning is get our phone and check our email or check Facebook or the news right away. Or for those of you who do it, turn on ESPN. See how bad Oklahoma lost. Or pray they lost. Now, don't be mad at me back there. I can see a few people. I can see the guns being loaded back there. Calm yourselves. Calm yourselves. You get distracted by it, and then your mind goes off in 100 different directions. I don't know what it is. I guess I'm getting old, but the newspaper, every time I see a newspaper, I want to go pick it up and look at it, and you just get your mind filled with all kinds of things. You have to lay aside all the sounds of life, all these other voices, so you can have God's words. Spend time with them. I mean, if you have a real problem with it, I've shared this with you before, but these dumb phones become such a part of our life. I got this thing on my phone, the Bible reading, and they updated it recently so that you can have this. Stand by. Okay, it's still there. It's the right thing. This is 1 Timothy 4:1.
First Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
It's got background music in the whole nine yards. It's dramatized. When you listen to it talk about Jesus being baptized, he said this spirit, you know, into different voices, different characters. If you have a real problem with it, I mean, you can get dramatized stuff so you can hear God's word. If you really need that because of distraction, you can play that in your car driving down the road. Put your earbuds in and listen to it. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to get God's word and bring it into your life. And listen, you need it in your life. You need it in your life. I'm going to say this to you. When you begin to bring God's word into your life, it'll change your life. It will change your life. I was ordained assistant pastor at a Baptist church before I ever read my Bible every day. I had sermons to preach. I had to get a sermon ready. I would read my Bible, prepare a sermon. I would read here and there. But it wasn't until we lived in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I had one child. And I was reading a book on 1 John. My brother-in-law gave it to me by Jerry Vines. Thank you. Jerry Vines. And in chapter 1, this fellowship, he said, we have fellowship with God. And he talked about what it meant to have fellowship with God. And he said, miss breakfast, but don't miss your Bible reading. And at that time, I was a diehard breakfast eater. 2 eggs over easy, 2 pieces of toast and coffee every day. Every day. And that's high living, to be honest with you. And eggs should always be made over easy. Don't never fry them hard, over easy. Sop your bread in it. It's good stuff. You'll live forever that way. You'll live forever. In theory. So, but I was struck by that. What's the most important meal of the day that the dietitians tell us? Breakfast. It's the building block for a good diet for the day. You know, it's the foundational element. And he was saying that the scriptures are that important. Spend time with the scriptures. And from that day to this, I can say I have read the Bible every single day since then. Sad to say, it hasn't always been the first thing of the day. But every day, I've had some portion of the scriptures as part of my spiritual nourishment. And brothers and sisters, when that began to happen in my life, it changed me. I began to be more even-tempered. I began to be more spiritually minded. I began to grow in the Lord by spending time in the scriptures. It seems so fundamental, but oftentimes it's so overlapped. Now, what is it that causes superficiality? What causes that? Well, it can be caused by a few things. Number one, actually, it's just one thing. Superficiality is caused by a hard heart. A hard heart. And a hard heart seems to be caused by unforgiveness, by bitterness, or by a prolonged exposure to sin. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy 4:2. 1 Timothy 4:2. Well, that's verse 1 to get it all. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The thing that dulls the conscience is prolonged exposure to sinful activities. Prolonged, willful exposures to it causes us to become hard-hearted. And you know, all the media experts tell us that by the time a person is in their 20s, if they're a regular TV watcher, they've seen thousands and thousands of deaths of people being shot, stabbed, and killed. And so that we become more and more desensitized to these things as time goes by. I remember the first time I watched my dad skin a squirrel and peel the hide off, and there's this little body, and watch him take out the entrails. It was a little bit disturbing. But as I saw it happen again and again and again, didn't bother me. And so we become desensitized, we become hard-hearted. And this leads us to superficiality. We become hard-hearted towards God. Now, a hard heart has to be dealt with in a stern way. It has to be broken sometimes. I heard one preacher illustrate it by having a clump of Play-Doh. Remember Play-Doh? And those little yellow containers And what Play-Doh would get hard, wouldn't it, if it dried out? And this preacher, he said, you know how you get the Play-Doh soft? You add a little water to it, just a little bit at a time, and you work it like that, and it'll soften up. And God's word can soften your heart. You may say, I am so hardened and so embittered, I could never become tender-hearted again. God's word can change you and change the way you are. Now, another reason for hard-heartedness is because people can get mad at God. You can get mad at God. I hate to say it. If you are mad at God about something, the only thing you can do about that is to repent of being mad at God. Is repent of it. You say, I don't like the way God made me. I don't like the way God designed me. I don't like the family God put me in. I don't like this. I don't like this. It's God's fault. I don't like what God has let happen to me. Repent. You have to repent. Because God is in charge of everything that happens. He's sovereign over all these things. And who are you and I? In the words of R.C. Sproul, we are creatures from the dirt. Who are we to rise up and be mad at God about anything? When it is this same God who reached down to the dirt, lifted us up and saved us and made us his very own people. So you're my child. You're my child. If you're mad at God, you should repent of that. You've no right to be mad at God. Now, I have been mad at God before. We were living in the ghetto in Kansas and trying to serve the Lord, trying to be faithful. And I remember going out on a walk one night, walking down this little dirt trail, and it was a rocky trail. And getting on my knees and throwing dirt in the air and yelling at God, saying, "Why have you done this to me?" Because it was just a bad situation. But who was I to say that to my God, to my Lord, to my Master, and repent of these things? The third thing is keeping the word in our heart is good for us. It is good for us. Some medicines are good for one part of the body and some medicines for others. And the Bible is a medicine that's good for, guess what? It's good for the heart. It's good for the heart. It's good for us. It must be ingested in regular doses or quantities as we live. And so we use this idea of being daily in the Word, daily in God's Word. And the Word of God, it works in us. It works on us. The Bible says it converts the soul. It makes us wise to salvation, gives us insight into life. And that because it does these things, it is very valuable. And the result of keeping God's Word in our hearts, in our minds, is found in the last part of verse 22. Can you see it there? "My son, attend to my words," verse 20. "Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." The result of having God's word, of bringing him into our heart, into our life, intentionally and willfully, is life and health. Because the word is good. The word is good. What the word does there, I think in two regards, it's good for our flesh. The Bible's good for our flesh because if we live by the Bible, it'll help us to avoid a lot of problems with our flesh. A lot of problems with our flesh. The flesh gets you in a lot of problems, doesn't it? A lot of problems. If you live by the Bible, you can avoid these things. The second thing is it feeds the soul day by day. And I used to have this, in one of my old Bibles, I had it written down, that Bible reading was soul food, or some version of that. It's good for the soul. It's good for the soul. And this is one overlooked part of the Christian life. I don't remember growing up hearing many people talk about reading the Bible very often. I don't remember it. But it's such a fundamental thing. You would think, maybe people think that goes without saying. I'd hate to know. Actually, I would love to know, but I don't want to know. But I would kind of like to know. I do. I just want to know. I want to know, so I could beat you up about it. I'd hate to know, but I'd love to know. Just say it like this. We'd probably all be surprised at how little Bible reading is done amongst us. I'd hope that we'd have a very high percentage. I had a pastor friend in Little Rock, and I was talking to him on the phone about it. And he said, how many people in your church do you think read the Bible every day? And he said, out of 150, he said, I would say maybe 7. And that was based on his interaction with the people in his church. 7 out of 150. Well, that's horrible. I mean, you'd want it to be like 80%, wouldn't you?
actually, you want to be 100% of people who read the Bible every day, every day. Brothers and sisters, let us be that kind of people, that we're daily in the Word, daily in the Word. There's a great benefit in it. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed.